The scripture that has been chosen for us in our hearing is coming from the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. And the scripture reads, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us."
Last week, we started with the sermon on making God's choices, or making the choice that God would make. And we discussed on how we were going to complete that particular lesson on today, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you're indeed our honored guests. We're thankful for you being here on this morning. There's something about making decisions. And when we consider God, as we talked about on last week, how God made decisions and how he decided to have a people, and he wanted those people to worship in a particular place, and he chose that place. And we discussed on how God was going to be preaching the gospel through the apostles. And Peter would say that God made choice that through my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word. But we also asked a few questions on last week. And those questions that we asked, as you see behind me, what are some of God's choices? What choices did he make? How do we apply those choices that he made? And when we apply those choices, are our lives to the better? And we have to ask ourselves, every day, will we make the choice that God has made? When we go to the scriptures, we understand that God does what's best for us. Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 24, even under the old system, the law of Moses, we understand that when he gave the law, it was for their good, but it was also for their glory. And so when we think about what choice did God make? We talked about last week that God chose to reveal himself. And he revealed himself through his son, Jesus the Christ. If you notice, again, and if you turn your Bibles to 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4, we discussed this on last week on how God revealed himself through his son. And the apostles, they saw him. They held him. They heard him. They embraced him. And so Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 2 and 3, Hebrews 1, verse number 2 and 3, is the very image of God. The word image there is the character of God. When you saw Jesus, you saw God, because he had the same character. And so we discuss on how God revealed himself through his son, and that God chose truth and light as a means of fellowship, which means that when we walk in the light, which is a choice, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with him. But if you notice in verse number 5 of 1 John 1, John would say, now this is the message. The message is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we discussed that on last week, that God himself, his very being, his essence, who he is, there is no sin when it comes to God. No transgression. None. None at all. And so we considered that on last week as well. But I want us to consider verses 8 through 10. Because when we consider verses 8 through 10, we understand that life is full of choices. We can either go to the left or we can go to the right. Life is full of choices. And if you stop and consider that and really think about that, you ought to be glad, I'm glad, that life has choices. That God didn't make robots. that God didn't make automatons, that God didn't make individuals that didn't have their own mind to choose him. God wanted us to choose him. 1 John 4 and verse number 19. There the Bible demonstrates to us that we love him because he first loved us. God made choice to love us. But that love is through his word. That love is from a mindset. That love is because of instruction. And Jesus chose to love his father just like we can choose to love our father and choose to love our Lord and choose to love even ourselves. And the Bible teaches us to love our neighbor even as ourselves. Friends, love is a decision. Love is a choice. God loved us. This is why we love him. But when you look at 1 John 1 and verse number 7, if we walk in the light, that is a choice. God doesn't make us walk in the light. God desires for us to walk in the light. He commands us to walk in the light. And then he takes a step back to see what we're going to do about that choice being made. And here's the question. What choice will we make? How do I know what light is? We discussed on last week by way of review that the Bible teaches us in Psalm 119 in verse number 105 that God's word is light. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. We go to the word of God and we can know what direction to go in. We looked at John 3:19 through 21. And those who go to the word of God, those who go to the light, they want their deeds to be exposed. They want to know the good from the evil, the right from the wrong, the unrighteous from the righteous. They want to know those things. So therefore, they pick up the word of God. They listen to the word of God. They see the word of God and they ask God for wisdom. Why? Because just as Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walk to direct his steps. So he goes to the word of God. She goes to the word of God. Why? Because that's where the light is. That's where the good choices are. And so when people don't go to the word of God, Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, they begin to lean on their own understanding. They begin to become a law unto themselves, Romans chapter 2. And so because of that, friends, we have to go to the word of God. God has left us his word in order to read it, to understand it, yea, even obey it, so we can be good citizens, moral beings. We can be the very people that he created us, Ecclesiastes 7:29, to be. He created us upright. And so when we consider 1 John 1 and verse 7 again. If we walk in the light, the word if there is conditional, which means, Brother Royce, that I don't have to walk in the light. But if I don't walk in the light, I shouldn't be surprised of the consequences. I shouldn't be surprised of the lifestyle that is contrary to the word and will of God. I shouldn't be surprised if my mindset is not going toward righteousness. But notice what he says in verse number 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. God wants fellowship. God wants that koinonia. He wants that joint participation. He wants that intimacy. And remember, on last week, we talked about how Paul in Philippians 3 in verse number 9 and 10, he said that I may know him. He wanted fellowship with his Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. We have fellowship. God wants fellowship with his people. He has always wanted fellowship with his people. He made his mind up to have fellowship with his creation. And even in the garden, we see mankind not having a desire to have fellowship with his creator. Sin entered into the world through Adam, Romans 5 and verse 12. And even though it was the woman that was deceived, it was the man that God gave the law to and told him, do not eat of that tree. He was to teach his wife. They ate of that tree. They separated themselves from God. They broke fellowship, which means that God gave man choice. It's unfortunate when men don't believe, I don't have a choice. God gave us choice. What does it mean to have choice? It means that I can make a decision. I can make a decision to love my God with all that I have, or I can make a decision not to love him with all that I have. I can make a decision to love my spouse with all that I have, or I can make a decision not to. I can make a decision to love my family and my children with everything that I have, or I can make a decision to go otherwise. I can make a decision to love my neighbor even as myself in that context, or I can make a decision not to. God has given us choice. But always remember, God made the right choice. Always remember that Jesus made the right choice. John 15 verses 9 and 10, Jesus loved the Father and he kept his commandments. The Father loved him, he gave him commands. That teaches us something. It teaches us that God is a God of choice. And we have to teach our families, parents teach your children that life has choices. And when I consider 1 John 1, again, verse number 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, which means that God says, I want you to contemplate. I want you to think. I want you to conclude properly. Before you consider fellowship with me, I'll need you to think about this. Jesus would say it this way, any man putting his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom. Make a choice. Mike Bonner has to make a choice. You have to make a choice. We have to make a choice every single day. Am I going to die today? Am I going to die daily today? And I want to deal with that later on in a few minutes. But friends, we need to make the right choice. But praise be to God that we can make a choice, that he gives us a choice, and that choice is for us to either love him or not. And so when I talk to people, I find it very interesting that they say that I love God, but they don't keep his commandments. Brother Cortland, then they don't love God. Because Jesus said with his own mouth, if you love me, keep. And the word keep is the idea of keep on keeping on loving my commandments. It's not a one-time keeping his commandments. It's an all-time. And even when I sin against God, that's verse 8. I can make it right. Look at 1 John 1. Look at verse 8. I was talking to my sweet bride this week, and we was talking about the Bible. And I told the young students, young kids in class this morning, you know, it's something about having a spiritual spouse that you could talk Bible with. I said, I encourage them, and I just get you a spiritual spouse that you could talk the Word of God with. Amen. The last thing you want is someone you can't talk spiritual things with. And I told him, and get you a spiritual spouse, not just one that shows up to church. So in 1 John 1 in verse number 8, notice what he says here in the text. He says, notice, if we say we have no sin, and we discussed that on last week, and we discussed it a few months back, the word no, there's the idea of no possibility. If we say there's no possibility of sinning, we deceive ourselves. God has given us choice. I can make the same choice that God makes. I can make the same choice that Jesus made. I can make the same choice the apostles made. I can make the same choice that the Bible teaches me to make. Turn your Bible to Romans 7. This is what we was talking about. In Romans 7, verses 15 through 20, here the Apostle Paul, under the law of Moses. Keep in mind that Paul was under the law of Moses before he was under the law of Christ. How do we know that? Because he persecuted the church. And he persecuted the church being under the law of Moses. Here, under the law of Moses, Paul was talking about a man. Most likely, he was talking about himself. But he says something in verse number 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. It sounds like a man that was struggling under the law. Sometimes, even under the law of Christ, we struggle. I want to do what's right, and I have the right choice in front of me. And Sister Braswell, I sometimes choose the wrong thing. Brother Randy, I choose the wrong thing. Drake, I just choose the wrong thing. Even though in my mind I want to do what's right. I want to do what God says. Paul says, under the law of Moses, I want to do what's right, but there's always something there. Let's keep reading. Verse number 16. Here he says, which is very interesting, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Why is sin dwelling? Sin is dwelling because I'm making the wrong decision in my mind, and now I'm practicing it with my body. This is why, friends, we have to put our minds on things that are above. We got to make the right decision, the decision that God would make. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 5. I set my affections on things that are above, not things on the earth. Why? You died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. But he wasn't finished. Look what he says in verse number 17. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Hold on, there's always a decision in front of us. But praise be to God that even when I make the wrong decision, I can think about this. I can go to God and ask him for forgiveness if I confess that, and God is faithful and just to forgive me. That's very interesting. But Paul, under the law, says, here, I got this issue. I got this problem within me. I got something in my mind. Just can't seem to get rid of it. But there's help. Look what he says in verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Look at this, brethren, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. I would have been wrong not to read that part right there. But we're not even done. Paul said, I'm struggling under the law of Moses, and the law can do nothing for me. Show me that I was a sinner. It showed me that when I sinned against it, it couldn't do nothing for me. But if you look at verse number 1 of chapter 8, now there's help. There's help for me. Here he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we tell people that you need to live for the one that died for you. This is why we teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the remission of sins. Why? Because if you can get in Christ Jesus, your battle is pretty much over. Now you just got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, man. And so people want to sit, they want to live their lives outside of Christ. And then I'm a good person and I do good. And God is going to save me. He can't save you outside of Christ. You got to get in him. And Paul, being a righteous man under the law of Moses, came to the realization after his interaction with the Lord on the road to Damascus. Lord, what will you have me to do? But we're still not finished. Look what he says. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What do you mean by that, Paul? According to the Spirit's teaching. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of the Spirit? The New Testament. The Word of God. It's so important, friends. Go back to 1 John 1 and look at verse number 8 again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we do not sin, if we say there's no possibility of sinning, friends, the very fact that we got this word, Romans 4:15, that teaches us that, well, where there is no transgression, there is no law, there is no transgression. We have law. So why don't we read the word of God more? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking more to me. Friends, we ought to be reading God's word all the time, so we can know what direction to go in. So we can see that there is a possibility for me to actually do what God says. And there's a possibility for me not to do what he says. And it makes sense under the old covenant why men like David and men like Solomon and men like Josiah, who was very careful to make a move before they went forward. Friends, we need to do that. Here we understand that there is a decision to be made. But this also should teach us that we need to learn how to build up resistance against sin. We need to make the right choice. And the more that we make the right choice, the more we build resistance against sin, against doing that which is contrary to the will of God, whether it's in our minds or coming out through our action. So in James chapter 1, turn your Bibles there and look at verse number 12. In James chapter 1, if we was to understand the system by which we can be tempted yet not fall to the temptation, friends, I know for a fact we'll be successful. And every man is drawn away by their own lust, so we have to be careful. Blessed is the man, look at this text in verse 12, who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. God always gives us something to look forward to, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Friends, God doesn't want us to fall to temptation. However, Jesus in Hebrews 4, verse number 15, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And if Jesus can do it, then we can do it. And so Johnny Ramsey said on one occasion, Brother Leon, if a Christian can't go 24 hours without sinning, then what is he doing? I thought about that over the years. What's the longest period of time that you have gone in your life making God's decision? Wow. But what does it require? Well, Mike, it requires you paying attention. It requires instruction. It requires humility. It requires me understanding that God is superior, I'm inferior. God knows all, I'm learning. It requires you understanding that you will make some mistakes along the way. I said mistakes, I didn't say sin. There's a difference. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 1. We're almost done. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, I remember studying this, and usually when you see the word sin in the Bible, you're thinking the Greek word hamartia. And the idea there is the missing of the mark, is sinning against God, transgression against his law. But Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meaning that these were not his words, these were the words of the Holy Spirit through him. In verse number 7, in him we have redemption, talking about Christ, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The word sins there is another word. It's not hamartia, it's a different word. Literally, the word is missteps, mistakes. Hold on, God is saying that I want to forgive even your mistakes. I want to forgive your sins, your transgressions, but I also want to forgive your mistakes. What is that teaching me? As it relates to making God's decisions, I need to be very careful. As we demonstrated on last week, Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. God says, I don't need you to make my decision, but it's going to require you really looking at your life, looking at the word of God, and walking carefully. Walking carefully. But we learn and we grow, but we have to build up a resistance against sin. Is that possible? It has to be possible. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. In Christ Jesus, friends, when I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching, God sees his son. I hope that's encouraging to you that, you know, before I speak this, let me think about that. Before I do this, let me think about that. Before I watch this, let me think about this. Before I listen to this, let me think about this. Would God make this decision? Would God make this decision? And that's the question we need to be asking. Making the choice that God makes is so powerful, because when you look at 1 John 1 and verse number 9, that's a decision. If we confess our sins, God says, I need you to make the decision. One of the hardest things to do is to confess wrong. Especially early in your marriage, you're sitting there and it's that vying for power on both sides. At least it was in my house. Amen? In my house it was, okay? Who's going to be in control? Who's going to have the most influence? And who's going to do this? So it's that vying for control. And then once you realize, hold on, we're on the same team. And God is the one that's in control. And God has placed order in the family. And then when you do something that you shouldn't have done, and said something that you shouldn't have said, and had an attitude that you shouldn't have had, you know, baby, I'm sorry about that. You know, it's the same thing with our God. Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. It's the same thing. It's not enough to sin against God and then walk back in his presence and say nothing. It don't work that way. And it's amazing. You can have people, they will forsake the assembly for months and years, and they'll walk back in as if they're the best thing since sliced bread. We're happy to see you, but you got a confession to make. Amen. You just can't. I remember one time Evelyn said, you can't walk out this house, stay gone a year, come back, get in the bed. It can't happen. It won't happen. Where you been? Amen. Where you been? It's the same for the Lord. You just can't sin against God and act like it doesn't happen. You can't sweep it under the rug. Can't have a bad attitude. Like, no, you got to make this right. It's like, Father, I'm sorry. So I make it right. That's the text. That's making the choice that God made. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us, verse 10. And so God is teaching us some great lessons, some powerful lessons, brethren, and we need to continue to learn those lessons. So how do we learn those lessons? How can we apply that today? Friends, we need to die daily. Every single day, I believe it's verse 31, we need to die daily. Let me give you some things to consider. The lesson will be yours in about 7 minutes or so. We need to apply thanksgiving every day. Sometimes we can sin against God and not make the right choice because we're just simply not thankful. No, we're not doing this or that, as some of the sinners in the world will say, well, at least I'm not doing that. But sometimes just not being thankful. Luke 11 in verse number 3, Jesus was looking for one to return and say thank you. Just simply saying thank you. Sometimes when we're going to God in prayer, instead of asking him for something, Father, I just come to say thank you. And then get off your knees and go your merry way. I'm just saying thank you. Thank you for what? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, everything. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. It's a hard life right now. Life is tough sometimes, Job 14:1. But just saying thank you. Number two, accepting encouragement every single day, Hebrews 3:13. I believe that some Christians, they refuse to accept encouragement. I think they're scared to get better. I really do. I've been doing this a long time, Brother Royce. You encourage somebody, encourage someone, and they always have some negative reasons why they shouldn't accept the encouragement. It's baffling to me. God is doing all that he can through the word of God. Acts 20 and verse number 28 and 32. And he's doing it through the church as he tried to build you up. Jude 20 and 24. He's trying to do all that he can to get you to move forward and be right and do what's right and have the right mindset. Make good decisions. Like, no, 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 no. Accept the encouragement. So if someone says, you're doing great, hang in there, it's okay. You know what? It is okay, even when it's not fully okay. It's okay, because at least I got heaven, I got holiness, I got righteousness before me, and I got something to look forward to. But number three, searching the scriptures daily. Usually when I ask people about their problems, I ask them a question. Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you meditating on the scriptures every day? No, no, no. Why? How you expect to get better? I'll tell you something. It's true. It's all left door, all outside. So, doctor said, you, man, your cholesterol's a little high. You need to probably lay off the butter. Man, I cook everything in butter. I love butter. Sometimes I go and I get those chips, and I just eat it with butter.
Amen.
Chad, I just eat it with butter. I just eat it with butter. Yeah, just take this little medicine right here and, you know, bring your cholesterol down. I don't want that. And then I have to ask myself, well, hold on, Mike. You can't have it both ways. You can't eat all the butter you want and then someone give you something that's going to help you and you do nothing with it. You know, it's the same when it comes to spiritual encouragement. Somebody's trying to encourage you to stay strong in the Lord, but you won't accept it. Accept the encouragement. That's how you apply making God's choice. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be lost. And he wants you to do this every single day. Every single day, friends. Every single day. Make his choice. Make God's choice. In your family, make God's choice. Make sure that you're spending time with your family. Make sure that you're reading the scriptures, thinking about God's word together, talking about God's word together, and share this with your coworkers and your neighbors and your friends, and demonstrate to them this is the best life that you can live. You just want to make God's choices. So I hope that you'll accept the encouragement. Because that's all I really wanted to do this morning, was to encourage us. Encourage us to do what is right, but make the right decisions. But how do I make those right decisions? By walking in the light. By understanding there's always a possibility for me not to make the right choice. Yet God makes a provision. Just make it right with me and we're good. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I got you. And so, as I end, talking to this gospel preacher, lives in a different state, and I just asked him one question, why are you afraid of God? He's trying to do everything he can to save you, but you're walking around afraid of him. God wants us to reverence him, but if we're doing what's right, we have no reason to be afraid of him. Everything he does is for our good. Question, do you believe that? Will you make the right choice? Will you make his choice? His choice is always the best choice. And I guarantee you, if you make his choice, you can go to bed at night saying, Father, I did what you said. Luke 17:10, I did what you said. Let's have a word of prayer and the lesson will be yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're so good to us and for that we're thankful. You have given us your word. We can read it. We can understand it to the best of our ability and obey what we know until we learn more. pray to Father that you be with the Ninth and Main congregation and all congregations that are naming the name of your Son. Pray to Father that we make good choices. Make the choice that you made. A choice that is saturated in holiness and righteousness. And Father, we're so thankful that you didn't create robots. We're so thankful that you made us in your image and gave us the power to choose, the power to feel, and the power to act. Pray, Father, that we'll take all of those things and glorify you. Forgive us when we transgress against you, when we transgress against one another, and we'll do all that we can to make that right. Father, we love you. We love your Son. We love his church. We love your word. And even when we go against it at times, as in the days of Isaiah, you said that your arms are outstretched still. Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you're not trying to destroy us, but actually you're trying to save us, trying to make our lives as abundant as possible. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider making the greatest choice ever, and that's obeying his Son, Jesus the Christ. I'm reminded of Philip as he was preaching in Acts 8 and verse number 12. He preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Will you obey the gospel? It's God's only power to save, Romans 1:16. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8. It's God's power to save you. Believe that he is the Christ, that's Jesus, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And yes, water is still essential for salvation. That's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ, where your conscience is cleansed from dead works. Now you can serve the living God. Be immersed in water. Live faithful. God will do something amazing. He'll save you. You hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things that make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. You'll hear those words, I promise you, because God keeps his word. Maybe a child of God, and well, you haven't been making good decisions. Well, maybe you haven't been doing things that have been necessarily evil, but you haven't been thinking properly. That happens. Again, God is not trying to destroy us. He's trying to save us, trying to make our lives as abundant as possible. As we stand and as we sing, our Savior's invitation.